Everyone seated, please. We're going to start.
That's a tough for you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the April 27th meeting of the Board of Directors. Our first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. If I can have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Seeing no objection, the agenda is approved. Oh, can I take a vote of how many people agree to? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the March 23rd, 2017 minutes, the March 23rd, 2017 executive session, and
so moved.
April 3rd, thank you. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Can I have a vote?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it. The approval of the minutes has passed. And now we have a period of public comment. Can we have Ms. Jackie Jeter?
Good morning. When the new general manager came on board, that's the problem with the system. And he promised not to repair the system on the workers' back. The promise of the white knight riding in while on the right white horse to save the day was a lie. And it's the reason that we have this confidence and the ability, your ability, to keep us safe and secure. Terms are thrown around like shared sacrifice, like it's a design label to loyalty. But we didn't have a shared conversation that protected our safety and from the FDA recommendations last week. We are not sharing the plans or the retraining or retooling of the company either. There was no conversation of shared sacrifice when management and board approval was $400 million approved by the Fed, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia for repairs after the 2009 fatality. Last week, there was a quiet announcement that trains can't be operated in ATO. Why? Millions were given to do the work. There was no shared sacrifice when management squandered millions for train cars that aren't worth the guarantee and the new cars aren't compatible with any of the present cars. You say that it's our pension and our benefits that's causing the drain, but management squandered 6.3 pay increase that the union gave back in the pension in 1983 and all the savings gained from a 10-year pension holiday that they took until 2006. Nor the 1.5 concession made in 2006 when we started that paying into it, and we ignore the 3% that employees paid to the plan now. We sacrificed our safety while you complained to cut middle class represented jobs in your budget numbers, but it hired 3 times the number of contractors to replace our jobs. Is that shared sacrifice or a well-planned smokescreen? You declare to the court that you need to prohibit 7-day overtime, but that's not in track or support mandate. Those brothers and sisters have built in overtime every day with your 12-hour day, and they work 5 to 7 days a week. They have been threatened by managers that contractors will take their jobs if they don't do the work. No hours of rest concern. It's just pandering to the public opinion showing that you're whipping a high-class dark night. Your media staff leaked incidents to the press to show wrongdoing of employees, but never disclosed that it's your training curriculum and your failure to retrain your workforce. Every real railroad invests in their workers. Let's talk about that next week. Do you disclose to the press that you never practiced or let the operators get out of the seat to fix their craft when incidents occur? You blame them for failing to certify while we... Throwing around words like shared sacrifice while disregarding our members' sacrifice every day. We fail to provide operators and station managers with protection. They sacrifice every holiday that you're home eating dinner with your family. Their days off during the week, with few weekends offered that normal parents have to live their lives and live with their children, these operators don't have, which is that you have to sacrifice. They make their sharing sacrifice. It's disgraceful for you to attempt to bully us.
Thank you, Ms. Jeter. Now we'll hear from Anthony Garland.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Board members, I'd like you guys to take a look around and look at the audience that you have. These are your constituents. These are your neighbors in the community. They parish with you. They go to the grocery store that you shop. Their kids go to the schools, your kids, your grandkids. They also have another connection. They vote. And this law will mobilize this transit system with other groups in the community to build a coalition to make sure that we elect public politicians that put forth policies that reflect the needs of the public and this transit system. Mr. Greenfield, take a little higher, this is your work. It's time for disrespect. They want to be inclusive in the discussion about effective, reliable transit in this region. When you're not working and you're adding, they're here making the system work. They do it every day, whether it's a general manager or manager. They want to be included in the discussion of the transit. So I ask you guys, please, let this union be a part of the discussion about dedicated funding, about what matters for transit, and do the work. They're the experts. We want to be included. We don't want this tug of war, this relationship that we have. But we have no choice to organize our members and make sure that they have power outside of staring a bus and holding an election. So we will mobilize and we will be effective on what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Garland. We'll now hear from Terrell McLaughlin, and I apologize if I mispronounce that. Good morning.
Level 2 of Washington, D.C. And one thing I had to learn coming from 201, which I helped build the system on the outside, from the metro, from the top of the metro, and the river to be safe. Because being safe on the outside is different than being safe in the metro. And people that showed me how to be safe in 68,000, not supervisors. Supervisors was that we do allowing us to do things other than, okay,
speaker is Jampsie Campbell.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jampsie Campbell, and I am a member of ATU Local 689. I stand here today speaking on behalf of 9,200 active and 3,000 retired members of my union who are outraged and disgusted by Paul Whitfield and the board's failure to bargain with our union and our elected representatives in good faith. Just last week, Paul Whitfield sent a letter to my union president telling her that you were banning union members from meeting and talking with each other about union business on Metro property. That same week, Paul Whitfield announced that he will be holding town hall meetings throughout the system to find out what we wanted in our collective bargaining agreement. That's what our union is for, Mr. Whitfield. Mr. Whitfield, stop trying to divide and break our union. Yeah. Members of the WMATA board, you hired this man to run our system and move it forward. It is my sincere hope that you did not bring him here to attack Metro's workforce, to charge our riders more, cut back service, and destroy any confidence that this riding public has in the system. Because that is exactly what Paul Whitfield is doing. We, members of ATU Local 689, see through the games that this man is playing. And we are here with 2,000 signed petitions and 1,300 electronic signed petitions from myself and my co-workers. We demand that the authority come to the table and bargain in good faith. Respect the hard work we do for the authority. That won't hurt our families or our communities. Who runs this city? Who moves 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 this city?
Next person signed up for comment is Bill Orleans.
Good morning. I am not a member of 59, but I agree with the various admonitions on your t-shirt, especially the one that the gentleman should bargain in good faith. That's not primarily, however, why I have to speak. A couple weeks ago and a couple of days ago, I called to inquire what the schedule would be for April 13th and was informed that there was to be no schedule for April 13th. The board was having a retreat. I asked at the time where the retreat was going to be and if it was open to the public. I was told, of course, no. I was not told when I asked where it was going to be. So I don't know where you guys are treated to. I think I've long suggested that the board meets more and its committees meet more in executive session than it does in public session. And an example, unfortunately, is your retreat of 2 weeks ago. I, those interested, don't know where you met, don't know how long you met, don't know what you talked about. I think we're owed more than something simply announcing that there was an executive session on April 13th, and I would appreciate the board informing us of where you met, how long you met, and what you talked about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Orleans. We will now have the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Sheehan.
All right, let's see if we can get this mic to work consistently right now. I appreciate being here. I think it's kind of a tough act to follow with all the speeches we just heard. The things I want to talk about, maybe perhaps a little more on the positive side, I want to talk about some accomplishments that we have noted over the last month. And thanks to the board for the work that they're doing and also for staff members. One of the first things that we looked at this month, one of the presentations we received, had to deal with a wayfinding system, which the board and staff, Columbia Lighthouse, has worked with the disability community to put into 10 rail stations a system called Click and Go. Phase two of that is going into six other stations. One of them is Metro Center, another one is Silver Spring, using beaconing technology, which will work for blind people to help blind people navigate the system, understand what is on the outside of the system. If there's any emergencies in the system, it'll help them assist them with emergency information. It is a very effective project. It's very well run. The presentations that the AAC have received have a very professionally done, and we appreciate the support that this wayfinding system, internal wayfinding system, has from the board and from the staff. So thank you for that very much. Second thing that we worked on was a customer satisfaction survey concerning Metro Access. We understand that there are issues concerning Metro Access. We're working to improve dispatching and the efficiency of the rides. I have been tracking the on-time performance since December, and the on-time performance continues to tick up. It's about 87-88% right now. We understand that there are challenges within the Metro Access system. We understand that there are, because of other alternatives like Uber and Lyft, that it's hard to retain drivers. We are working with WMATA staff to make sure that we get the best service possible, that the drivers are effective, dispatching is effective. So we're partnering with you on that. If we have issues or ideas or complaints, certainly we will voice them, but I think we're heading in a good direction. We do have some more work to do. In the past, we also have asked, we understand there's been a lot of discussion about dedicated funding stream. A couple months ago, we asked for talking points. The AAC would like to have that. My guess is that the RAC also would like to have something like that. So when we talk to legislatures, we can talk with one voice, the same voice that we're hearing from the jurisdictions and the board, what makes sense as far as funding for WMATA. We understand the importance of that funding. It's something that we've lobbied for over and over again. We would like to be on the same wavelength with WMATA as with respect to that. My next topic has to do with the emergency exercise that we just had this past weekend. In the past, I have come before the board and I've said we need to make improvements. What I witnessed last Sunday was an excellent, excellent job done by first responders, done by WMATA staff on that exercise. A big kudo goes to Bob Hester, who did a remarkable job of explaining to the individuals who were volunteers on the train exactly what was happening on the outside with respect to the first responders, firefighters, what they were doing on the track, the 10 things they had to do to get the track ready, what they would be doing when they came on board, and he would go through and give us a blow-by-blow description of everything going on. That is exactly this kind of information that I've been looking for the last 5 exercises. Individuals that I talked to who participated and know more about these exercises than I do, emergency professionals, said that it was very well done. So kudos to the group that participated in this exercise. Big kudos to Bob Hester for his work in making that exercise understandable to those of us on the train. Very well done. A couple other things I'll talk about. We have some good things to report concerning the lighting project, something that the AAC, along with the disability community, has been involved with. We have 85% of the lights on the mezzanines done and completed. We're very pleased. We understand that finances are tight. We appreciate the work that's being done on the lighting to improve the lighting. Not only helps the disability community, but it helps everybody. But thank you for that. We also received a very good briefing on the extension of the Silver Line by MWA. It was good to get a briefing at the beginning stages of that project. As a matter of fact, I bragged about it so much that I think the Riders Advisory Council wants to have the same briefing. So it's very good to be brought into a briefing at the beginning stages. So the things like elevators, escalators, accessibility issues, lighting, those kinds of things can be brought up at the beginning stages. We appreciate that particular work that's being done. Those are the main areas that I think we covered this last month. Any questions for me?
Yes, Mr. Dorsey.
Yes, quick question and a comment for Mr. Sheehan. Christian Dorsey from Arlington. First, I'd like to again express my appreciation that you're willing as part of the AAC to, make sure people, as they engage in their lobbying and advocacy for Metro, that you are, speaking from the same hymnal as everyone else in terms of dedicated financing. Know that there is probably not, at least for the time being, going to at least be one voice in terms of all of the conclusions, but I think there's probably a fair amount of work that we can do to coordinate how we're presenting this issue as a level of, as a matter of urgency. And I just volunteer to work with colleagues from D.C. and from Maryland to, maybe give Mr. Sheehan some of that work product. But the question for you, Mr. Sheehan, or perhaps the Office of Customer Research, concerns the Metro Access Survey. And it was interesting to me to note that a relatively small number of people are using the vast majority of trips. And I was wondering if that survey had highlighted Metro's efforts to move people from paratransit to fixed rail, and if we had any data on what that looked like.
I would have to go back and to check that. I do know that there has always been an ongoing effort to do that. Within the ADAP program, there is a concerted effort to encourage people to use the fixed route system. As a matter of fact, I am currently working with one of those members to get additional training in my area that I'm living in so that I have access to how to get from my apartment to the subway system. That kind of effort has been a standard part of the services that are offered by the ADA, the ADAPT program. We can certainly get some more information as to the overall effectiveness and how the 14% of the people who use 70, I think it was 76 or 78% of the trips. What we're doing to try to improve and get them into the fixed route system. So we can get more data for you on that. What I have anecdotally is that the system that is travel training system that is out there is very effective. Columbia Lighthouse has done a good bit of the travel training, and the professionals that are working within that office that I have dealt with on a daily basis have been doing an excellent job for a number of years. So we will continue that and get you more data.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan. And Ms. Ellison, have we, as the board, received a summary report of that survey? I don't recall seeing it. We haven't yet. Okay, thanks.
We can follow up on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan.
Any other
questions? I'm sorry, there's one more question.
I would think it would be good that we, that we also give the date and time of the Alexandria meeting for our riders as well. I think that the June date, June 15th, is that Mr. Smetberg in Alexandria? So the Northern Virginian Transportation and members from Virginia would be hosting, and we'd love to have your appearance or some representation there.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any other questions for me?
Okay.
If not, thank you for your support and for the good work that you're doing, and the support that we get from staff and management. AAC, as I've said in the past, appreciates that. We couldn't do our work without it. Thank you,
Mr. Sheehan. We will next have a report by our Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Corden.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
In the room, that is. And here I thought the most contentious thing y'all had done in the last month was paint Union Station. As the chair of the Riders Advisory Council, just wanted to give you an update on what we are doing. We are certainly coordinating with Pat and the AAC, but we are also coordinating with a group that is quite a mouthful. It is the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Transportation Planning Board Citizens Advisory Committee. So the analogous group to the RAC is the CAC. I prefer to call it the CAC as opposed to the CAC. They are trying to look at what the long-range plans should be for the D.C. metro area, and certainly WMATA is a large part of that, so we want to make sure that the Riders Advisory Council of WMATA and the Citizens Advisory Council of the Transportation Planning Board are on the same page. So we are working with them to make sure that everybody is singing the same song, and that song's chorus is all about dedicated funding. The customer service committee of the RAC took a visit to the customer service center that's by Prince George's Plaza. That was remarkably informative, learning everything that's going on there. We did provide a number of suggestions to the customer service committee, including creating a frequently asked questions website and question site that they could call into, so that theoretically that would answer a lot of the questions that people are calling with, and thus free up a little more time for those staff who are there in the center. We're also looking at ways to make the RAC a little more publicly accessible. Certainly attending our meetings, which are, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, on the first Wednesday of the month, next door. That is certainly an option, but not everybody can make it to those. So we're trying to find out if there are any ways to, whether it be live stream these events or live blog them or do something to take advantage of technology to provide people with a way of providing input without necessarily having to be in the room during those 2 hours. We, along with the AAC, participated in the drill that was held at Navy Yard this past weekend. I have not yet compiled all of the comments that all of the members who participated in that have for everybody, so I hope that everybody has such glowing reviews as Pat did. But we will certainly provide our feedback on how that one went. Our three jurisdictional vice presidents from Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. are attempting to create some sort of a get-together, whether it be a meet-and-greet or a brunch or coffee or whatever it might be, with their jurisdictional board members. The hope is that the groups could actually have a slightly more informal conversation rather than standing up in front of a microphone and being on record, and get to know everybody so that the riders can get to know their respective board members and everybody can talk about jurisdictional issues that are particularly of importance to them. We've been working on scheduling that for a while. It's going a little more slowly than I would like. Most things go more slowly than I would like, so that's not terribly surprising. But we will see if we can get something going on that. So please be prepared to meet with your RAC representatives who are speaking for the people in your jurisdiction. And at the risk of respectfully disagreeing with one comment that was made earlier this morning with regard to the Red Line meltdown from this morning, certainly communication may have been better than it has been in the past. I don't dispute that there are certainly ways in which it had been improved. But I don't know that the general consensus is that the communication was as quick or as thorough as it would have, as would have been appreciated. I know that it's always a challenge when you have to shut down the middle part of the major train system when it's in the middle of morning rush hour. But when in doubt, faster communications are always more appreciated. The writer's feedback so far, and I'm speaking off the cuff here, not necessarily as the Writer's Advisory Council Chair, is that more communication would have been appreciated this morning. With that, I guess I can answer any questions. Otherwise, I will sit down.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Goldman?
Just to follow up on your last point on today's, this morning's red line, as you call it, meltdown, could you follow up and talk to your members and give us a report on what their reaction is, whether communication was adequate this morning, and how they felt about it, and what are your suggestions for improving communication in case of future incidents like that? I think that would be greatly appreciated by the board.
We can certainly do that. Our next meeting is Wednesday, May 3rd, so I'm sure that will be a topic of discussion when we meet.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Bolger.
Okay, thank you. I'm interested in your take on what our wonderful Transportation Planning Board long-range plan process is going to do for Metro. What's your take on that?
My take individually?
Well, as chair of the committee, how do you think that's progressing?
I think there's still a lot of talk, and they're largely in brainstorming phase. A lot of ideas have come up, a lot of policies, a lot of pet projects, arguably. And I don't know that from the Transportation Planning Board side yet there is consensus as to what exactly they want to recommend for their 2040 plan. Certainly additional crossings of the Potomac, both in terms of an additional highway somewhere out, but also an additional tunnel, have come up from a number of people. There's a lot of focus on WMATA-related topics that have come up, but I don't, to my knowledge so far, there's not really a coalescing around a specific set of recommendations.
Right,
we're trying to move quickly to provide such recommendations. Quickly is always a judgment call.
When's the long-range plan scheduled? What is the long-range plan scheduled, do you know?
The schedule for providing recommendations?
Well, for adopting the region's long-range plan.
They want to have the goal is to have a series of recommendations by the end of the year. There is a task force looking at that and hoping to provide, that subset is providing recommendations that the entire committee will approve.
Okay. Keep us posted. Thank
you. No further questions? Thank you, Ms. Gordon. Next, we will have the report from the chair. Just checking to see if it's still good morning. Good morning. Originally, we were scheduled to recognize Mr. Edwin Nipple, an employee with 40 years of service to Metro, but unfortunately, he could not be with us today. The board extends our congratulations for his dedication and commitment over the past four decades. Next, I would like to recognize General Manager Paul Wiedefield and his staff on the Keeping Metro Safe, Reliable, and Affordable plan. On behalf of the board, I commend you for stepping up and putting forward a plan that looks to right the ship with a new business model that is sustainable for Metro. The plan addresses funding needs and challenges, capital investment requirements, efficiency, regional policy questions, and workforce issues. Just like the FY18 budget, I don't think anyone is 100% pleased with all the components, but we think it's a thorough and thoughtful plan for ensuring the viability of the system long term. We look forward to more regional conversations about keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable in the near future. Next, we have one appointment to the Riders Advisory Council, or RAC. We have one vacancy to fill for the state of Maryland. Therefore, I move the following. Whereas Resolution 2005-44 established a Writers Advisory Council and adopted governing bylaws and standards of conduct, and whereas in Resolutions 2010-01 and 2014-66, the Board of Bylaws, and whereas per Article 3 of the revised RAC bylaws, the WMATA Board of Directors may fill vacancies for unexpired terms, and whereas a member of the RAC has resigned their membership prior to completion of their full term, and whereas after undertaking extensive outreach designed to reach a diverse cross-section of bus, rail, paratransit, and multimodal riders, staff recommends Rebecca Mason to serve as a member of the RAC to replace outgoing member Serena Kima. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby appoints Rebecca Mason to the RAC representing the State of Maryland to fill a seat previously held by Serena Kima for a term that will expire in December 2018, and be it finally resolved that in order to allow the RAC to effectively conduct its business, this resolution shall be effective immediately. May I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a statement?
Yes, Mr. Goldman.
I interviewed Ms. Mason. I think she'll be an excellent addition to the RAC. She lives in Wheaton, Maryland. She works actually right around the corner from this area right here in Chinatown, so she'll have access to Metro meetings and be able to come here frequently. I think she's a good addition. I think you'll all look forward to meeting her, especially those of us from Maryland, when we have the meeting with our RAC members that the RAC chairman described. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we know she's going to be great because you met with her. We'd like to now turn the floor over to Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. I'd like to give a brief overview of both safety service and fiscal management as our top priorities. I won't go very far into the safety since we just had a committee and we talked about some of those issues. I did want to give an update on the red line. It is back up in service fully now for the afternoon and evening commute. In terms of service, we've recently published our Back to Good plan to improve customer experience by focusing on safety, again, service reliability and station environments. We're seeing significant improvements. At the end of March, we had 39 new 7,000 series trains in service. That represents roughly a third of our fleet during the peak period. In addition, the oldest and least reliable rail cars are quickly moving out. 70% of the 1,000 series are gone, and nearly half of the 4,000 series are out of the system. The rail car get well plan is again completing its work on major components in the legacy fleet, including an HVAC propulsion system and pneumatic brakes. As a result of the continuing efforts there, train offloads were cut in half in the first 3 months of 2017 compared to the same period last year. In addition, we're installing public radio system and activating cellular service in the tunnels, working with the wireless providers. Another underground segment came online last week for cell phone service on the red line for between Glenmont and Silver Spring. And the Wi-Fi pilot, which we has proven very popular and successful, and that's going to be expanded. So by the end of 2017, we'll provide free Wi-Fi for 30 underground stations, and the rest of the underground stations will be done in the first half of 2018. Turning onto the financial side of the house, this week FTA did lift additional restrictions on our ability to draw down additional federal grants. As you recall, last December, FTA lifted restrictions on the grants awarded after July 1st, 2015. They have this week's actions covers several other remaining PREA grants. And so basically the latest action will allow Metro to once again file electronically for the reimbursement on all PREA grants and receive immediate payments and improving our cash flow issue, which we're wrestling with, obviously, for the remainder of this fiscal year. I think this, again, demonstrates the significant progress made towards getting our financial house in order and ensuring full compliance with the federal requirements. In terms of, as was mentioned by the chair, I did release last week my thoughts on the financial plan going forward for the next 10 years of this agency to make it safe, reliable, and affordable. It does the plan, regardless of where we may see different, have different thoughts on it, it clearly does have one truth, and that is everyone in the region can agree on, which is that Metro's funding problems will not be solved with the status quo. We identified $15.5 billion in capital spending that includes investing in safety and reliability of the system in its entirety, and it's critical that that the Metro have, like other major systems in the nation, a dedicated revenue source to address these capital needs. With the proposed reforms, with the proposal, there are reforms and other cost containment measures. We estimate that we can save the region $1 billion over the next 10 years and through a capping of operating costs of 3% per year. In less than 6 months, believe it or not, I'll be returning to the board with my budget forecast for the next fiscal year. And in the coming weeks and months, I look forward to working closely with the members of the board, of the local jurisdictions, our congressional delegation, and the business community to help move this plan and others' thoughts forward as we get into that budgeting process. Let me just end with a staff announcement. I'd like to take a moment to introduce Craig Stewart. Where's Craig? Craig joins us from, he joined us earlier this month as our new Chief of Capital Planning and Programming. Craig comes from Metro, New York, with more than 35 years of experience in managing capital budgets and programs. Most recently, he served as the Senior Director of Capital Program at MTA New York, where he managed a $32 billion capital program. In his new role, Mr. Stewart will manage the Metro's capital program delivery and activities, including planning and coordination, implementation of the annual capital budget, and directing WMATA's six-year capital program. As we look now at our long-term funding goals, which include increased capital spending, Craig's leadership will be critical to delivering the improvements that our region demands of the Metro system. Thank you, and please join me in welcoming Craig to the team. That concludes my remarks. We'd be glad to take any questions that you might have.
Any questions? Well, I'll just have a brief statement in response to that report. I'm unsure about a lot of things in life, and it's not over yet, so I'm sure there'll be more that I'll find. But I am 100% sure in the commitment of this board and the general manager in turning Metro around, and I will stand behind that 100%. And I thank you for your leadership. I thank my fellow board members for their leadership in these tough times. They're not over, but we will continue to slog through them, no matter how painful that they are, to get to a better future. I would now like to say the following items are on the board's consent agenda. New Carrollton parking surcharge revenue. Prince George's County is requesting to use up to $6 million from its parking surcharge account to pay for infrastructure improvements required for the joint development project at the New Carrollton Metro Rail Station. The next item is to authorize General Manager CEO to negotiate and execute updated agreement for Kids Ride Free DC Student Transit Program. Staff is requesting authorization for the General Manager CEO to negotiate and execute an updated school transit subsidy program agreement between Metro and DC, including establishment of a permanent agreement subject to annual renewals and extension of the Kids Ride Free program to a full year, eliminating the need for a separate summer school program. Approval of temporary loan of artwork at Grosvenor Strathmore Station. Staff is requesting board approval for the temporary loan of artwork to Metro at the Grosvenor Strathmore Station in conjunction with the upcoming station activation pop-up previously approved by the board. Authorization for debt issuance. Staff is seeking board authorization to increase Metro's 2017 long-term debt issuance by $75.9 million in support of Metro's capital improvement program. This $75.9 million represents unfunded capital investment carryover from the FY 2011-2016 capital funding agreement. Last month, the board approved $499.3 million for this purpose. Therefore, the full amount after today's action will be $575.2 million. I would like to move approval. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The motions are approved. Now we will have the report from the DC. Mr. Price. WSTC, myself, I have nothing to report. NBTC, Mr. Corcoran.
Nothing to report at this time.
Thank you. And the federal government, Mr. Strickland. Okay, thank you. Before we adjourn, I move that the board go into executive session to discuss litigation and legislative matters. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We now stand adjourned. Thank you.